April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and Wisconsin has a widely acknowledged drinking problem. Compared to every other state, this Wisconsin has the highest percentages of people who are drinkers, binge drinkers, and drunken drivers.
Today we're going to focus on drunken driving. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, in a 2009 report, over 26% of Wisconsin adults admitted that they drove under the influence in the past year.
Wisconsin is the only state in the country where a first drunk driving offense is not actually a crime, but a traffic ticket. In the last legislative session, lawmakers moved to toughen Wisconsin's drunk driving laws, but despite broad bipartisan support, those laws didn't pass. Virtually every proposal to toughen drunken driving laws failed in 2013 and 2014.
Bill Leaders joins us now. He's a reporter and editor at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Welcome, Bill.
Good to be here.
And in a bit, we'll be joined later by Senator Tim Carpenter, who co-sponsored drunk driving legislation last year. And Bill, can you give us a recap about some of this legislation that was introduced and that ultimately failed last year in the session?
There were more than a dozen bills introduced last session which would have toughened the penalties for driving drunk in Wisconsin. A package of bills, about six bills, I believe, were introduced by a couple of Republican co-sponsors, Alberta Darling in the Senate and Jim Ott in the Assembly, and they were supported by Tim Carpenter, a Democrat, in the Senate. So they did have some bipartisan support. The fact that they came from the Republican side made many people think that they would have a chance of passing. Some of these bills were pretty modest. It were things like requiring that everyone who is charged with first offense drunk driving has to make a court appearance. Now it's possible in some cases that you don't even have to show up in court. Other ones would have toughened the penalties for repeat offenders. It would have established mandatory minimum penalties for drivers who cause injury and death. None of that passed. Some of these bills did receive some debate. Some of them passed the Assembly, but none of the package of bills passed the Senate. And I spoke with Senator Fitzgerald, the majority leader, who explained that, you know, there was some disagreement among his members as to the best thing to do, whether tougher laws were the way to go. Wisconsin has seen a significant reduction in drunk driving fatalities and crashes, and he points to that, and he felt that the path that needed to be pursued was the one bill which did pass last session, which was to provide more money for these treatment courts, which try to address drunk driving by providing treatment to offenders.
Now, to look more closely at that package of bills authored by Republican Senators Alberta Darling and Representative Jim Ott, and again, these are two Republicans in a Republican-controlled legislature with some bipartisan support, with also public support. What is the thinking on why they ultimately didn't pass with that behind them?
Well, I think it is the point that Senator Fitzgerald made, is that there is disagreement as to whether making the laws tougher, making the penalties higher, was the right thing to do. There was also some fiscal estimates that were submitted regarding some of these bills, which talked about, you know, huge amounts of additional costs the state would incur. Now, this was disputed by advocates for these changes. It said those cost estimates were overblown. It assumed that in every case there would be significant additional jail time that and prison time that was attached to sentences, and that's the only way the numbers would be that high, whereas in the way they saw it is toughening the penalties would also have the effect of discouraging the behavior, so there would be fewer people who would be locked up under these heightened penalties.
What are the latest trends in drunken driving rates in Wisconsin?
Well, they have been going, fatalities have been going down over the last decade. It used to be more than 300 people a year were killed in drunken driving accidents in Wisconsin. That went down to about 200 people a year. In 2013, it was 185, and there were more than 2,000 people who were injured, but it had gone down. I have not found numbers for 2014, but the point has been made, and the governor made this point when I did the story. I received some comment from him that, you know, the state has achieved successes in reducing drunken driving rates, and that's part of the reason why there isn't more support for some changes like making first offense drunken driving a crime. that is something that the Democrats introduced independent of this package of Republican bills. And I don't believe it even had a hearing. It went nowhere. It was dead on arrival. There was no legislative interest in pursuing that. There were other Democratic introduced proposals to require the use of these interlock ignition devices for everyone who is convicted of a drunk driving offense, not just people who are second offense or who have a high enough blood alcohol level on first offense or who refuse a breathalyzer test, as is the case now. There were additional things to impound vehicle registration for people who drive drunk and make it a crime for them to drive cars other than the ones that have been outfitted with the ignition devices if they're required. All that kind of stuff came up. It was proposed. It was proposed by Democrats that didn't even have a hearing. It just went down in flames. But even the bills that were proposed by Republicans with bipartisan support did not fare well.
And Bill, just briefly before we let you go, do you have a sense about whether there is an appetite this time around in both chambers to pass some drunk driving legislation?
Well, Representative Ott told me that he intended to reintroduce this package of bills or pieces of this package, and I assume that that will happen. I know that Senator Carpenter is interested in advancing legislation regarding drunken driving. There's all kinds of proposals they're talking about. One thing is sobriety checkpoints. That's something that Mothers Against Drunk Driving have found are useful in other states to create sobriety checkpoints. So people no longer can assume that if they don't act impaired, they won't get in trouble. Everyone convinces themselves that they can drive perfectly fine, but if you know you can get busted just because they're out there stopping people and looking for people who have been drinking, it does have a deterrent effect. Now, whether Wisconsin will go that route is a whole different question. Politically, that has been anathema. It's been something that has been controversial and not embraced by the political leadership.
Bill, thanks a lot for stopping by.
Thank you.
That was Bill Leaders with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Now we'll continue our conversation about drunk driving legislation with Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter from Milwaukee. Senator Carpenter, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on such a gloomy day.
Well, let's talk about your co-sponsorship of the Darling and Drunk Driving legislation. Why did you choose to co-sponsor that particular package?
Well, it's an idea whose time has come actually a long time ago, and I tried to work in a bipartisan fashion. There were several bills out there. Bill did an excellent job of kind of summarizing the lay of the landscape. But I wanted to work because I understand we're in the minority. The Republicans control both houses and the governorship. And I knew in order to get something passed, I'd have to work with Senator Darling, Representative Ott, any Republicans that want to really take a bite out of drunk driving. And so I co-sponsored their bills. Some of them I was the only Senate Democrat on. And so I realized in order to accomplish the goal that I hear it, from a lot of folks at town hall meetings, every town hall meeting is doing something about our lax drug driving laws. So my door is open for business for any Republican, anything we can do to do something about drunk driving.
Now, you've had personal experience with the existing drunk driving laws in Wisconsin and your father. What happened?
Yes, one of the bills that passed on a voice vote, and I give the Assembly a heck of a lot of credit, they passed a bill on a voice vote that simply requires someone who's been charged with drunk driving to have them actually appear in court. My dad was an alcoholic and had a big drinking problem and went in for treatment several times, and there's a statistic, by the time you're stopped for drunk driving, you've probably been out there drinking and driving at least 100 times. That's the statistics according to MAD. Well, it happened to my dad 15 years ago, got stopped for drunk driving. And the thing that made a big difference for him is when he got stopped, I talked to him and said, I will help you. I will do everything. But my dad served in the Navy, and when he had to go to court and look at an authority figure, which he respected the law, he, you know, was in front of a judge, and that changed his life completely. He gave up drinking, you know, was sober the rest of his life. And I really do believe having a person show up in court in sort of a shaming mechanism and let them know how important it is. And it doesn't have a fiscal note. It just makes common sense to have people to sort of stand up and right their wrong.
Just got done talking to bill leaders about the failure of a lot of drunk driving legislation in the legislature. What is your sense about why this has been an uphill battle?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. I think some of it has to deal with the urban-rural split. I think everybody understands the number of binge drinkings, drunk driving. We're the only state in the nation where it's not a misdemeanor for drinking and driving. That was one of the other bills that came up that would say if you were stopped on your first offense, we tried to compromise, and your blood alcohol level was 0.15, which is double the legal drinking or the drinking level of 0.08, that you would be considered, a misdemeanor. So we tried everything in our powers to bring things forward, but for some reason, I don't know if it was assembly did a great job. I don't know if it was some of the members of the Senate that were up for re-election that didn't want to take these votes because of the Tavern League or whatever, but we failed miserably in the Senate on doing something that Wisconsinites want us to do.
Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has said there isn't consensus about whether toughening penalties actually works. What would you say to that?
Well, I think what we have to do is send signals. I think if the legislature turns a blind eye to the problems of drunk driving in Wisconsin, I think that sends a pretty strong signal. And again, the thing of people knowing that they can go out drinking and their chances of being caught are minuscule. I think if you raise the penalties and you went ahead and, for example, Bill mentioned, which I support, safety checkpoints, having those out. I want to have, a pilot program in my area in Milwaukee County that the sheriff or the police department could set something up with safety checkpoints to go ahead and send signals and let people know that drinking and driving is not tolerated. And so I think the biggest thing is I know people talk about cost. There are a lot of things we can do that don't cost a lot of money, but we just can't sit on our hands and do nothing. In fact, we're going the opposite way. We have a bill that I sponsored. There's a alcohol that's coming out, alcohol in a powdered form that will be marketed sometime this summer, including in Wisconsin, and that's going to add more problems with drinking and driving. You have that situation. The governor signed a bill that people in grocery stores will now be able to get hard liquor samples. And so all of these things are happening that are pushing us, sliding us back and making it the possibility of drunk driving worse. And we're not doing anything positive. We're taking a step back into the dark ages.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Senator Tim Carpenter from Milwaukee about failed attempts to toughen Wisconsin's drunk driving legislation.
April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin needs tougher drunken driving laws? What would you like to see change, if anything? What would you say to Wisconsin lawmakers on this issue? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
It's Alcohol Awareness Month, and we're continuing our conversation with Wisconsin Senator Tim Carpenter about drunken driving laws in the state. Wisconsin has the highest rate of drunken driving in the country, and last legislative session, virtually all bills aimed at toughening drunken driving laws failed.
We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Does Wisconsin need tougher drunken driving laws? What would you like to see changed, if anything? Would you like to see things like sobriety checkpoints? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We go to our callers now. We've got Kurt on the line in Milton. Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
Hi, what do you think?
Hi. Well, I've got a perspective on this that I think kind of clears it all up, and I've talked to some of my elected officials about it. I'm a retired military officer. Every officers club and NCO club in the world has a machine as you leave where you can put in a dollar and check your blood alcohol level. I think probably the reason that you're not getting a lot of support from maybe the general populace and some of these things is separate out the hardcore people who really have a problem from people who go to a wedding or they go to dinner or this or that. And it's like, well, we don't want to drive drunk. We don't want to be over the limit. But it's hard to tell at that point. So if you don't have a way to tell where you are, it's kind of like having a bank account that has very serious fees if you overdraw, but no way to check your account balance.
Got it. And so, thank you, Kurt. Appreciate that perspective. And Senator Carpenter, would people self-regulate better if there were opportunities like that at public places?
Well, I think I think anytime you promote public's awareness of drinking and driving and what buzz driving is and things of that nature, it's great. I know there was a machine out there that people were talking about at bars where you could blow into a machine and find out your blood alcohol level. My concern with that would be you don't know how accurate it would be. And the second thing is I could see people being stupid and playing games to see how drunk they could get. And so if bringing it up can somehow, and we don't need a change in state law for that, but if people wanted to try and do that and took it seriously, I certainly would be open to something of that nature of more public information about what it is.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Kurt. And earlier, Senator Carpenter, you mentioned safety checkpoints and how you would be open to that in Milwaukee, for instance. What do you think about the argument that some people make that you're somehow affecting the people who are not drinking, who are doing the right thing, and you're putting the burden on them?
Well, it'd be the same thing. I'm glad you brought up that point. It'd be the same thing of doing checks before you go on an airline. We know what happens when, some people are going onto airplanes carrying things they shouldn't. We know the threats with that. And so when you get on a flight, you give up certain, rights, I guess, to have the better safety of your flight. It's the same thing. If someone's getting behind a couple ton vehicle driving drunk, and you go ahead and have an area, and you have to do this. I want to make it local control, let it be a pilot program, have local support, let people know. It could be like on St. Patrick's Day. It could be the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, New Year's Eve, amateur nights, I guess you could say, and have that out there. And again, if people know the chances of being stopped are greater, I think they'll calculate in their mind and say, geez, I don't want to take that risk. But right now, I would argue that it is our laws are lax enough that right now it doesn't deter enough people from drinking and driving.
Well, 38 states and D.C. have sobriety checkpoints. Do you have a sense how it's working in other states?
Well, I've actually been stopped at a couple of sobriety checkpoints around the country, and I know people, I'm going to get, nasty messages in the office about supporting this and whatever, but I found they were very professional. They have to follow constitutional guidelines, and I found it actually refreshing that when you're driving around and it happened to be later at night, I felt comfortable. It's just like going on a plane. I feel more comfortable going on an airplane knowing that other people are on the plane aren't going to be stupid. And so if you have something out there, and I've heard from Illinois, Georgia, California, that they're all effective ways, and I can guarantee you that it will reduce the drunk driving rates. Because, again, more people are getting the message that it's not okay to drink and drive.
We're going to go next to Cheryl, who's joining us from Middleton. Cheryl, hi. Cheryl, are you with us? Okay, not hearing her, so we're going to go to Joshua in Oshkosh. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a story and then I guess an opinion that I would like to see maybe reformed or changed. I have an older brother. He was 33, and he happened to get a DUI when he was 21. Unfortunately, 3 years ago, he happened to get a second one, so almost 10 years apart. And I guess one of the laws in Wisconsin says that he is mandatory, has to go to jail for, I think it was 2 weeks. And I think he spent about a total of 3 weeks in a county jail while the process was being completed. Well, in the time, they ended up losing his job because he was obviously absent for 3 weeks. And then the penalty was the jail time, fines. He lost his license, and then he had to attend parole meetings and then an alcohol counseling class. He had a lot of trouble doing it because they took his license, so he couldn't get to work. He ended up taking a part-time painting job to help pay for the fines, and they wouldn't give him a license. to find a better job so he can get to it until he paid the fines. And then he couldn't even get to a good chunk of the parole meetings and the alcohol counseling meetings. So I'd like to see the reform go in the way that it kind of addresses the issue and not so much the penalties.
All right. Thank you, Joshua. So, Senator Carpenter, are the laws, even the existing laws, too punitive? Should they be more focused on treatment instead?
Well, we can have laws on the books, but it's actually ultimately up to the judges to go through and decide what justice is and measure the law against the individual. I don't know the particulars of if someone was injured, the blood alcohol level was at what point. And usually when, unfortunately, when things happen with drinking and driving, there are multiple things going on. You might have a child in the car, not having you suspended or revoked license, no mandatory, no automobile insurance proof. So, and knowing the particulars, I would guess that there must have been a lot going on for that type of penalty. We have drug courts, we have veterans courts, and I know the at least in Milwaukee County, judges are willing to go out of their way and help someone who really wants to redeem themselves and change their life. So I do believe there is treatment options and also a restorative justice and people willing to help people out of this trap of drinking and driving.
Joshua, thank you for that call. And just briefly, Senator Carpenter, as we wrap up, what, if any, drunk driving legislation is planned for the coming session, and do you think it'll have support?
I saw, again, kudos to Representative Ott. He started circulating a couple bills. One was the appearing in court bill, and I think he and Senator Darling will be circulating them again. What I'll do is I serve on the Senate Transportation Committee. The drunk driving bills came through that committee in the Senate. We had public hearings and it passed, but I'll start working with the newer legislators. There's quite a bit of turnover to try and get them on board, try and work in a bipartisan fashion of getting something done.
And we leave it there. Senator Carpenter, thank you so much for joining us today. We've been speaking with Senator Tim Carpenter from Milwaukee about moves to toughen drunken driving legislation in Wisconsin's legislature. April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and Wisconsin has the highest rate of drunken driving in the country.